Today, I want to talk about clay. I mean, who doesn't like clay, playing with clay, molding it in your hands, and making things out of it? My daughter, all of her life, has enjoyed playing with clay. Early on, she would take classes and camps in ceramics, and over the years became quite good at it. And I learned a lot from watching what she was doing and how she was developing. Tried it myself a few times, not that good. So we let her be the ceramics expert in the house. There are two ways that one can make something with clay. One is just freehand, just taking a piece of clay and forming it with your hands into whatever it is that you want. Maybe it's a little giraffe or a vase or a bowl, anything. Another way is one we're all familiar with, and that is using a wheel that goes around and around, which you use to shape a piece of clay. And the way that works is pretty obvious. You take a piece of clay and you wet your hands, because your hands need to be wet as you're doing this, and you form the clay into a ball, and then you place it on the center of the wheel, but you really need to throw it at the wheel so it sticks. And that's hard to do because you miss the center of the wheel a lot. So then you have to center the clay, which means moving the wheel slowly and just holding the clay in place to get it exactly centered, which is very hard to do. And a lot of people rush this and they don't get it centered. But once you've got it centered, or think you do, you take a finger or thumb and you press it in the middle and you start to widen a hole there out and build up the edges of the walls in the shape of whatever it is that you intend to make, a cup, a bowl, a plate, whatever. And you keep working the clay, and invariably, you'll fail. It's bound to happen. You fail a lot when you're new at this. You fail the first time, guaranteed. And no matter how good or skilled a potter may be, sometimes they're going to fail. That means that as the wheel goes around, something gets out of whack and it falls over. You're building a pot and one side collapses in. And that's because clay is not an inanimate object. It has a life and will of its own, and that is usually fighting against the hands of the potter. So no matter how skilled that potter might be, occasionally there will be failure. And what do you do when you fail? You just scoop it all up, put it back in a ball, start over. Throw it down on the wheel and start over. Our reading for today from the words of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah is about clay. Jeremiah ministered to the people of Judea in the 6th century B.C. And in this passage, Jeremiah describes how God sends him on a field trip. He sends Jeremiah to go to the home of a potter in town. And there, God's word will be revealed to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah complies. Of course, who's not going to? We get a field trip. In Jeremiah's day, potters would have been commonplace in every village in town because they were needed to produce jars and bottles and other ceramic items necessary for daily life. And Jeremiah goes to the potter's house and he finds this potter at work in his studio or workshop at the wheel. He is there throwing a pot, as we say. As Jeremiah observes this potter at work, he realizes that there is a metaphor at play here. He looks at the potter, and he looks at the clay, and he thinks about it, and it comes to him that Israel is like the clay in the hands of God. God is a potter. Israel is the clay. And as Jeremiah watched, something went wrong. The potter had to start over. And Jeremiah began to see that oftentimes God must rework the clay into something different. something new, a different vessel entirely. And that's a wonderful metaphor. God is a potter, we are the clay, and God is constantly working us. And even when we sin, God is willing to start over. And that's normally where we leave this metaphor. It's pretty simple. We all understand it, that we are to be a good vase or jar that is pleasing to God. And that's how my daughter does her ceramics. When she has achieved a shape on the wheel that pleases her, she stops. She removes it, sets it over here to be glazed and fired in a kiln. And that firing process turns the soft, malleable clay into something that is now hard and unchanging. But it will have some purpose. It will serve a distinct purpose for the rest of its life. Now, I want to today suggest that we look at this a little differently. Yes, God is a potter, but God is not seeking to turn us into a finished form for the kiln. It's not God's intent to make us into some perfect vase or bowl that will forever be unchanging. When my daughter makes a piece, her goal is indeed an end result, a bowl or a cup or a vase. And as I said, she will glaze it and fire it in the kiln. And that kiln changes the clay from something soft and malleable into something hard and brittle, something with a purpose. And at this point, my daughter loses control of the piece, because once she's fired it, she can't change it anymore. It might go up on a shelf to be looked at. It might be given away to a family or friend, but no longer is she molding it and shaping it. It's out of her hands, quite literally. But God is different. God's goals are different than a regular potter's goals, because God is constantly molding and constantly shaping the clay. God is hands-on. Literally hands-on in the lives of God's people. Because for God, that is the purpose. The purpose is not an end result to have something that sits on a shelf or something that does a particular job. For God, the purpose is the relationship. A close, intimate relationship between a potter and the clay that the potter is attempting to mold. And God wants to maintain that relationship. So God is continually working in our lives. Because I would hate to think that at some point God would be finished with me and is going to set me aside and not have anything else to do with me anymore. That I'm not going to change anymore. That I'm like some porcelain doll sitting on a shelf. I'd rather think that God is with me always, working with me, shaping me, turning me into something new. And what God is shaping here is a nation. Because when Jeremiah sees the potter in his house, he says, God is a potter and Israel is the clay. And who is Israel? Well, Israel are God's people. At this point in time, Israel is a specific people. And this is hard, I think, for us as Americans to understand. Because we as Americans are very individualistic in our faith. We want to grow with God. We want to be with God. But it's about what I as an individual am doing, what I can do. How can I make myself better? I'm going to study the scripture. I'm going to live a life of service. But to be honest, we're less concerned with the lives of faith of those around us. As long as I do my thing, I'll be okay. If you don't do your thing, well, too bad. You should do better. But we don't look at others as a group necessarily. I mean, some of us do, but generally, we're looking for ourselves more than anything else. We're not thinking about the larger community of faith. And Jeremiah is addressing a people, all the people of God here. Jeremiah tells us that not only are we the work of God's hands, but we as a people are a work in process. Because as I said, Jeremiah is not looking at individuals here. He's looking at all of God's people. And part of our responsibility as people of faith is to identify what we believe that God has shaped us as a whole to be. Not just right now, but tomorrow, next year, and the years after that. And to ask the question, has God formed us into disciples or servants? Are we to assist the needy, to visit the prisoner, to champion the plight of the marginalized? How are we as a people doing this? What vessel is God ordaining us to become? And how is it that we seek to understand God's plan for us as clay in the hands of the potter? Well, it's very simple. It's prayer and reflection, listening to those around us, being willing to see God's hands not just in our lives, but in the lives of other people, and to celebrate when we see God's hand in the lives of other people. And that's really one of the purposes of having a church. Yeah, we could read scripture by ourselves, we could worship alone, but no, we are much better when we come together. As a community, as a people, we worship together, we pray together, we share together, we lift one another up. We guide one another towards the goal that God is calling us. We offer support and encouragement and guidance on God's path, no matter how imperfect one of us may feel. And there's a warning in this passage as well. A warning that if the people do not follow God's path, if the people do not listen to God, then God may in fact push them to the side. It's a warning. And, well, we look at history and Israel and Judea, and we will see that in just a few years during Jeremiah's ministry, that Judea will fall. Israel has already fallen. It no longer exists anymore as a political entity. And Judea is going to fall under the hands of the Babylonians. So yes, people sinned and their nation disappeared. We are God's people, but we have to be wary that we are sinners, but we need to change. God is there with us, but at some point, as God warns, we as a people may be pushed aside. In Scripture, we can find many examples of imperfect vessels called by God to do God's work. In fact, everybody in Scripture, except for Christ himself, is an imperfect vessel. But one of my favorites, I think it's a favorite to all of us, is the Apostle Paul, who explains in one of his letters that because of his earlier persecution of the church, that he was not fit to be called a disciple. But he changed. And I want to read his words here, words from his letter, first letter to the church in Corinth. He wrote, "For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we know Paul. Paul came along to build up the church as we know it today, to pull people together, to show them God's hand working in their life, to convince them that they needed to accept God's molding and shaping and making them into something new and wonderful. We are God's people, and we should work together as God's people to lift up not just our lives, but the lives of all of those who put their faith in God. And I want to close thinking about communion. Today is a communion Sunday for us. We do this once a month. And we wonder, why do we take communion on a regular basis? Well, I look at communion with the vessels that someone has shaped for us, a plate and a cup and a pitcher. And on these are bread, and in the cups is the wine. And we come together and we take this and we recognize that through this sacrament we become one with Christ, that we feel the Spirit of God moving through us. And so for today, treat it as a reminder that God is indeed with us, shaping us, forming us, and making us something new. Amen.